glad you're here. Fellowship's sweeter, knowing you're near. It's so good to see you. I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you. We're glad you're here.
Welcome to Mark and Friends for Thursday, September 28th, 2023. I'm Donna Leland. Today we welcome Debbie Griffith of Everyday Matters to the microphone. We're going to find out about her new book, Orange is the New Blessing. Welcome to Mark and Friends, Debbie.
So good to be here. So good to talk with you, Donna. I love sharing my heart, my story, and to encourage people that they're not alone and nothing is wasted with God as our Redeemer.
And I love your program, Everyday Matters, because you talk about everyday things and what's going on in your life. And in your book, Orange is the New Blessing, it is all based on this one experience that you had. And can you just tell us about it?
It is Orange is the New Blessing, which is a spinoff of a TV series, which I never actually saw. And then I do have a little bit of verbiage underneath the title, From Busted to Blessings. And so this particular story is getting a DUI just right off the bat. That's what it is. And well, I was charged with a DUI, but the process was I did not plead guilty because we actually had a case because the circumstances were so crazy. And it was 6 years ago in my driveway. So I wasn't actually pulled over by the cops, but I was actually in a jail cell with complete orange clothing, which I would like to share with you that orange is really a good color for me. So, you know, there's that. There's a silver lining, I guess, in that I don't know if being on jail roster with a mugshot is the way you want to display yourself, but at least we have going for me that I look better in orange than I do in black.
Yeah. Well, here's the deal. Let's go back and dig into how that moment came to be. I mean, you're a speaker, you're a writer, you're a Christian mom, four boys, husband, lawyer, you know, so it's not like you were going to the bar and getting drunk
No.
and staying out till 2 a.m. So let us know what moment in time, what led up to that?
Okay.
Because it's not normal what happened.
Here I am speaking all over the country at conferences and retreats. I have the short feature, Everyday Matters, 1 minute, that's aired on hundreds of stations, Moody Radio. I am a substitute teacher in the schools. We live in a small town, Mayberry size. Honestly, it's 6,000. The funny thing is my last name is Griffith and my husband's a lawyer right on Main Street. He grew up here. We have four adult sons. Two were living at home at the time. And so everybody knew Debbie Griffith. And people knew Debbie Griffith from me just traveling and speaking. So then to find myself in this situation, it's just not ideal for what my occupation is as a communicator of who God is and his grace. But actually, ironically, it actually is, because he is grace filled. He fills us with grace and he shows us his grace in the situation. In 2003, I had scoliosis back surgery, which is really, really unusual, and only for the reason that they stopped measuring you at 18 years old for getting a brace. And at that time, it was that Milwaukee brace. For me, to get a brace, you know, in my teen years, when you're just going through so much awkwardness anyway and finding who you are. And I did know Christ. I had my identity in him, but not really an understanding of my identity in him, meaning I had a relationship with God. It was the theater that really helped me to find a place where I could sing and perform, but I never did have to get that brace. But in 2003, I kept going to the chiropractor, and then I went to physical therapist. And so I'm 36 years old. I go in, and my curve, the last it was measured as an 18-year-old, was 20 degrees. And now here it was at 40 degrees, my curve. And so they said, well, we can continue to measure it and see if you should have surgery. But eventually what would happen if it progressed, but it would push into my lungs. And, you know, so I'm just like, let's just get this surgery. Major, major surgery. I thought, I'll sail through this surgery. I've had four children. But at the time, it's so crazy too, Donna, because I had our youngest was 1.5, and Joey had just turned 3, and Peter was 4, and Marco was 7. Mm. So, you know, and I have the surgery. I think I'm going to coast through it. Just give me all the medications, all the drugs, prescription medication. But I couldn't take it. I was just a wreck. I had this severe 13-inch scar pain, felt like darting swords in a burned scar area that were, you know, piercing. I just was so miserable, and none of the prescription medications, I mean, everything that they could prescribe, I tried and I couldn't. I did get through that season. I look at it now as the beginning of God bringing and showing himself in a powerful, mighty way, which he usually does in our trials, in our hard places. So that season of real pain was about 3 months. And they did say, if you would like to consider, it's a possibility that your rods, that you have all these rods and screws in your back, as you grow, will pinch into nerves and you can have them removed at some time. But because the surgery and the recovery was so painful, I thought, I am never going back in. Well, it would come and go, pain throughout the years, but not bad. But in 2017, I just couldn't get relief. So on one particular day, I was home by myself. I went and got some vodka. I went, and there's orange juice, and I poured the two together. And I thought, this will not take away the pain, but it will numb the pain. And it did. Then I get this brilliant idea that I'm going to go to the McDonald's drive-thru, which is only 1.5 miles from our home. So I'm in my pajamas, February 28th, 2017. I drive to the McDonald's drive-thru. I drive back. I'm eating. Actually, it was a Big Mac and fries. And I was, you know, searching for the stray fry that maybe, you know, fell on the ground. So maybe your driving would be a little erratic because you got to save the magic fries, you know, so they all go into your mouth. And then I pulled into our driveway, just kept the vehicle running because I live in International Falls, Minnesota, the icebox of the nation, and it was cold. So I didn't want to go into the house. I just want to finish with the vehicle running. And then I get a knock on my window, and it's a copper guy. And he says, roll down the window, or, you know, motions, whatever. And I roll it down. And he said, have you been eating and driving? Because you could clearly see the McDonald's bag. And I said, yes. And then he said, have you been drinking and driving? And I said, I had a drink. Well, there's a guy in International Falls for his recreational time, because again, 6,000 people, he sits in the McDonald's parking lot. And since at that time there was a bar across from McDonald's, he would follow people he thought maybe were intoxicated. And then he liked to be part of the report that the police issue. And so I, just making up a name, you know, Calvin Brown decided that he would follow me home and then call the police. So I didn't even know that he was blocking my driveway so that I couldn't pull out. And then he left when the police arrived. So they didn't have any cause for saying, oh, we saw you driving crazy. But all that followed next, Donna, was just nuts, because I was in my little tiny driveway in little tiny International Falls, and they were training in a new guy. There were two guys, and he said, cross my arms. And I'm like, you know, in front of me. And I thought, okay. And then they put handcuffs on me, like a crazy show. And then they put me in another police car. They didn't even have me test for a DUI, which is the norm, I guess. And they brought me to the cop shop. You know, through a series of events, I kept calling my husband. They said, you get one phone call, you can call him as many times as you want, because my husband's a lawyer. And he thought I was making a joke. And he said, Debbie, how did they let you use this phone? And I said, no, I'm serious. They want to have me blow for a DUI. And eventually I did blow. And eventually I was just the tiniest amount you can be over. But then it's surreal what happens next is that Sherry, the girl cop, because, you know everyone. So I'm like, Sherry, how's Josh doing? Oh, he's in traffic controller school. And, you know, you're just like, oh, okay. And then she goes to this metal cupboard and she says, Debbie, what size? And I'm like, excuse you? And she's like, what size? And she opens the cupboard and I see it's orange clothes. Mm. And I'm like, medium? I get the clothes on. I get a blanket, a toothbrush. I go into the cell. And I remember brushing my teeth and one of the bristles falling out. And I just, was so aware, and I was just more in shock now. And I also remember asking for a Bible and a piece of paper. And on that piece of paper, I actually wrote the words, "Nothing is wasted." And on the book cover, you'll see that I'm holding a sign and it says, "Nothing is wasted. God redeems all things." And I wish I would have kept the piece of paper. So then I go and I talk to my husband, Dan, the lawyer, and it's through that plastic glass. And, you know, you're all emotional. For the first time, I started crying because there's nothing to say. And I'm just so sorry. And I have this shame. And Dan was able to bring me home that evening because he called the city attorney, which everyone, you know, small town again, knows everybody. And I go home, and then I have to start making phone calls to tell people what happened, because by this time, the girls' hockey team had sent out a group text with my photo from the jail roster, and it was just flying through town. I mean, I was like, this is big ticket, you know, that Debbie Griffith, that's, you know, I know I just went on and on with so much of this chunk of the story,
yeah,
but
it's so deep. Yeah. There's so much in there, and I just wanted people to know. What really led up to it was your effort to take down pain. You really weren't used to using vodka as a pain relief.
No, right. And because of that, it wasn't that I had any wherewithal like, oh, you had some alcohol you shouldn't get in the vehicle. Mm-hmm. And so it's kind of like one of those things, like the first time you're not even thinking that having a beverage, because you're not measuring, you're not drunk, you know, you're not like feeling, you just like, oh, okay, I have a little bit ease of pain, I'm gonna go get a, and so that's why it's just so surreal that it happened. And the reason we challenged it is because, again, the judge, knowing my husband, said, I think you have a case here, because they didn't have cause to pull, well, they didn't pull me over, and, you know, just so many wonky things. So we ended up filing an extra fee to challenge the situation, but the date kept getting changed. And so I didn't drive for a total of 9 months. And it was just nuts, because so I was riding my bike, and this is winter, or getting rides from people. I still have my speaking engagements that were coming towards the end of the summer and the fall. And so my son Joey was driving me to these events, and I speak with props, like I'm a prop theater major, so rather than PowerPoint, I use props and characters. So he had my prop bag, and, you know, it was just crazy. But Donna, I would say absolutely that there was such blessings, because I chose to do all the things I would do if I was going to be guilty. And that was, I chose to do an outpatient program to just see in general what my relationship with alcohol was. And I had never been to a counselor that wasn't a believer or Christian counselor. So I just met characters and people and situations, and had people reach out to me like never before, because, you know, Christians, non-believers, because I was being vulnerable and sharing my story. I immediately shared my story on Facebook. Well, the very first night, since everyone was hearing about the news, I like a celebrity, I almost put out a statement, or I did put out a statement that said, hey, I appreciate everyone's concern and thoughts, and I want you to know I'm home, and, you know, we're all good, and I appreciate your support and concern. Because, like, I knew everyone was talking about it, and I wanted everyone to know, like, hey, I own what happened. Mm-hmm. Through the 9 months, Donna, going through, we had another friend that was an attorney, and we sat around this big table, and we were finally going to have this trial, or not trial, but, you know, this hearing for the DUI, and to be released of not having it on my record that I had a DUI, and hadn't pled guilty, of course, in that whole time. And then all of a sudden, I just sensed from God that he had used this as a huge blessing in my life, and that it would be different had I not received a guilty verdict or decided to plead guilty myself. So I stood up, I pushed the chair away from the table, and I stood up, and I just, all dramatic, like, I said, I'm guilty. And they all looked at me, Dan and the two other attorneys said, are you kidding me? And Dan was most upset, like, Debbie, we filed this extra fee to try this, and we've gone through this all these months, and you're saying now you're going to plead guilty? And I go, yeah, because that's what, I have a peace in my spirit that God has said, I brought you through this for a reason. I'm going to use it. Nothing is wasted, and you plead guilty. And so I did. And so it's crazy. It's so crazy that I can actually say it's a blessing. And I can now encourage people in ways that I have never before. And everything that we still go through, it's just because you have one hard place doesn't mean you're not going to have harder places along the way. But to keep that mindset of Romans 8:28, really, that all things, not some things, not most things, but all things work for the good to those who love God and he's called for a purpose. And it's not because we feel it. It's not because we even think it, but we actually have a knowing in our spirit that he has promised us that all of it will work for the good. And we don't know what that is. Sometimes we think specifically, well, the good means my personal good and benefit. And he's saying the good of whatever he deems as a redeemer and as the one who came for us and died in our place so that we might live. He promises the good out of bad things.
We're listening to Debbie Griffith of Everyday Matters on Mark and Friends today and digging into her book, Orange is the New Blessing. So, Debbie, let's dig a little deeper. And can you kind of give us some of the blessings that came out of this absolutely crazy story?
Overall, big blessing was just relationships that I had and was able to connect to people on a level and in a way that I would not have had I not had this. And that means the classes that I took that were group counseling classes and all the other characters who needed to hear the hope of who Christ is and the love and that they weren't alone. And I think the shame that people feel from making these kind of mistakes over and over and they know better, I think that was probably one of the biggest blessings was to meet so many other people had I not received this DUI and choosing and see the time that I chose. If I would have pled guilty right away, I would have gone through all of the classes and meeting people and people reaching out to me and riding my bike. I mean, that's a blessing too. I got in great shape. I mean, it's just so silly, but it was the connections I made with people. And because people are what life is about, relationships, first and foremost, our relationship with Christ, but then everybody else, the relationships we have with people and connecting, because only people last forever. I mean, Jesus is forever. Jesus is always there, never leaving us, never forsaking us. But people are eternal and all this other stuff just disappears, but for people. So I would say that is the blessing. Physical fitness, relationships with my own family and connecting with them. And, you know, they had to go through my four sons and my husband. There was that embarrassment and that shame. And I really like to say that, you know, really understanding the difference between guilt and shame, that I was guilty of having had something to drink and getting in a vehicle, which you should not, even if you're not over the amount. You know, it's just wear your seatbelt, you know, is another. So guilt, though, says you've done something wrong and I was guilty. But shame says you are something wrong. Mm. And I really like that distinction because you are not something wrong. You may have done something wrong, but God in his grace and forgiveness can forgive that. And for many people growing up, they have been told they're nothing, they're worth nothing, they grew up in a dysfunctional family or whatever. Shame is saying that something's wrong with me. Maybe even as a child, you experienced abuse. It was not your fault, but you have shame because you think something you did or the way you, where you were or, you know, whatever. That was probably the biggest blessing is just the relationships and the people that I met and circumstances and opportunity to speak to so many groups that I would have maybe had. Like Minnesota, and I'm sure I think other states have it, but Adult and Teen Challenge and recovery groups and just so many blessings. I mean, people are the blessings in life. So it's just all these different people that God put in my path that I don't think I would have otherwise. And I think in my position, being able to still be on the radio and speak, and I didn't have any title or, you know, job opportunity that I couldn't be in anymore. Because I know my husband, Dan, defended a pastor person who had a DUI. And it was just from, you know, being at someone's home, having 2-3 many glasses of wine. Because they got the DUI, they have not been able to be employed ever again in the ministry as a pastor. You know, I think that's just so sad because that did not happen to me. It's almost like God gave me more opportunities.
Yeah.
So to do that, I had to go substitute teach. So Tuesday it happened, the DUI, and on Friday I was scheduled to substitute teach at the high school. I thought, you know, surely everyone will understand, of course, why I canceled. But I knew that I had to own the story before it owned me. So I remember going to substitute teach, and I got picked up by a fellow teacher. And I was walking down the hallway, and the kids were just so great. They were like, "Hi, Mrs. Griffith. Morning, Mrs. Griffith." And then I went in. I was subbing for choir, and I went in. And on the whiteboard, someone had written, you could tell it was a student, had written, "Please be nice to the sub today." And then I went down. I know, it was just so sweet and endearing. And then I went down to the counselor's office. Joey was a junior at the time, to get a form for a scholarship. And Josie, the counselor, said, put her hand on my arm and said, "Debbie, you know, we're all here for you, the staff, the teachers. It could have happened to any of us, and we're here for you." So I just was so glad that I faced it. And I think when we have something bad happen to us, we want to shirk back and in that shame rather than the guilt and say, yeah, I own this, but I'm not going to let it own me. I'm not going to cower in shame because God forgives me. And yeah, some people are going to like it that this happened to me, you know, like, haha, she thinks she's all that in a bag of chips.
Yeah.
They're going to have the meanies out there, of course. But for the most part, you know, I never really saw the meanies. I heard more people saying, thank you for sharing your story. And I actually ended up writing my story, which is the first story in the book, in a Christian radio contest. And I won the nonfiction category. So that was, I just, you know, think, you know, you ask what other blessings, and the one just continually stands out is the connection to others and bringing the hope of who God is, that he loves you. He's not surprised that I did this. He's not surprised what happened to me. And he always has a plan of hope and redemption to bring you through it, to bring a blessing to you, no matter who you are or what you've done.
Thank you so much, Debbie, for being a part of Mark and Friends. Appreciate you, and we'll definitely have you back.
God bless you who is listening, and God bless you, Donna. Thank you.
Mark and Friends is a ministry of Great News Media and the WLUJ family of stations.